that life you always wanted, but you didn't know.
Hello and welcome to the Kalamazoo Church of Christ podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're a startup church we just planted in September 2020. And at the Kalamazoo Church, we believe that Christianity is done best when it is done together. And so if you live in the Kalamazoo area, we would love to connect. Be it coming to a Sunday service, one of our small groups, or even just grabbing coffee with a member to learn more. You can visit kalamazoo.church in order to do that. We pray that you are inspired by what you hear today.
Welcome, welcome. Good to see you guys. It feels like it's been a little bit of time just because we had house church on a Wednesday, and then we had house church on Sunday, and then we met for house churches this last Wednesday, and so it just felt just like there's been, it's been a little bit disjointed. You guys understand, we know in the summertime, There's just a lot that goes on. There's a lot of good trips, a lot of fun trips. And so it does feel like there's just going to be some times where it's a lighter church service. There's 100 things going on, but we're excited to be in Kalamazoo. We're excited to be able to be with each other and to learn and really grow closer to God in this time. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going into a new series. And over the next 3 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to look at three different, essentially, studies that I think are going to help us as we try to become mature Christians and then help other people become Christians as well. You guys think right now and just kind of, you can just imagine, but basically, real quick, we're going through, these dates are a little bit off, but they're basically, we're a week ahead. So we're going to go through today, we're going to go through authentic discipleship. Then next Sunday, we're going to talk about biblical salvation. And then the last Sunday, it'll be June 19th. Actually, Paul is going to preach about kingdom life. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So hold your horses. Hold your horses. You've got to wait. If you're interested, yes, you've got to wait a little bit longer. But he's coming. It's coming. Consider now for a moment, just think about in your life, if I had to ask who is lost right now in your life, just think about who comes to mind. Who's lost in your life? We understand, in the book of Isaiah, it just says, we all like sheep, we've gone astray. Everyone has turned to their own way, is what it teaches. So who has gotten off the path? Maybe you look and they were really never on the path. Or maybe they were at some point and they've gotten off. But who is that person, those people, that group in your life? I know right now that you're seeing faces. It's actually not just names, and it's probably not just faces, but it's interactions that you've had with these people, interactions with people that we see daily, perhaps, and in work or at school or just in our day-to-day commutes. But then there's also really, I think where I go is all of my family members who don't have any kind of real relationship with Jesus, or maybe they hear a little bit, but they're off just a little bit. Yeah. This series is intended to equip us to be competent to help those people at least start on the path to go from wherever they're at to closer with Jesus, and then ultimately to be able to make a decision if they want to be a part of God's kingdom or not. And you'd understand there's more than a few different approaches that a church can take. There's some churches that will say that there's more of a consumer mentality or mindset. They create awesome, just really big, powerful worship services. They have great kids kingdom or whatever kids church programs. They are just all over social media, and the product, you can consume it if you're just sitting down. If anyone's listening or watching on Facebook Live, we're sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like you're missing so much, but it's also not great production. There's not five different cameras. The lighting's kind of sometimes a little bit messed up depending on how the slides are. That's what we've got going on. But there's churches that it's a beautiful product, right? On social media, on Facebook. There's churches where the worship is like a concert every single Sunday. And the mindset is, let's bring as many people in the door as possible. a lot of times the mindset is let's kind of keep them there and talk about big things, but not help people progress as Christians. That's not the mindset that we take. You'd understand that one of the biggest differentiators, I think, in our church family from virtually every other church, certainly that I've heard of, many that I've attended, is that we decide that we're going to, anyone who says they're a Christian, we're going to do everything we can to hold them to the Bible standard. And not just with words, not just church on Sunday, but to be daily in people's lives. That this is studying the Bible with people, that's built into our DNA as a whole church family. And so consider right now, if you had this, you guys maybe have seen this, maybe you haven't, I don't know, but if you haven't, here it is. You think about what would happen if there was this amazing preacher, just the most powerful, compelling speaker, and every single day he was able to convert somebody. Every single day that without this guy was able to preach and converted somebody. And then you think, what if there was just you or me, or just a single disciple, doesn't have an awful lot to give, knows a little bit, knows just enough about the Bible to be dangerous, right? And just every year, they just make another disciple. Show them the Bible, help them, and then... But then what would happen, though, is what if you're going to make a disciple, then you realize that the goal of a disciple is to... Or one of the goals is to help other people become disciples as well. And so that disciple makes another disciple. By year two, you've got a powerful church of four people.
Amen.
We weren't far from that, though. Okay, so right. There was a time when it was on this church plant, it was just me, Bianca, and Alex. So so they were doing something better than we even had going on. And then by year three, you've got a church of eight people, and this awesome preacher has a group of almost 1,100. And but then by year eight, you'd understand, or by year 13, excuse me, you'd. This is the first time that if you just have one disciple makes another disciple and those disciples make other disciples, that you'd actually surpass this awesome preacher who would be able to convert 365 every single day. And then this is way high reaching. This is impossible to conceive. But by year 33, the megachurch preacher would have a church of 12,000. That's incredible. But if this plan is going to succeed, then the entire world population would be evangelized. And it's over 8 billion. Right now there's 7.7 billion, give or take. But in 33 years, there'll be about 8 billion. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it would take. This is built into our DNA. This is some of the first Bible study series in our groups of churches had a like essentially like a little graph or a little chart very similar to this. In my notes here, I just pulled one from the 70s. I copy and pasted it right there. And at the time, the world population was about 5 billion. So I had to add another year for 33 instead of 32. But you work with me here. This is our aspiration, though. Think about that, to be a part of a church that makes disciples.
Wow.
But this is the harder way. It's harder for you. It's harder for me. It's harder for everybody because we can't just attend church then. We have to be the church. We have to live it out. And not only do we have to live it out, but we have to continue to live it out, continue to learn more and more, continue to grow, because we understand that the devil is not stopped, right? We understand the devil is not stopping at in the 90s or the 2000s or right now it's 2022. The devil's not going to stay static, so we have to continue to grow as well if we're going to help everybody have the opportunity to know Jesus.
Yeah.
So the overall, really the goal of this entire series is to inspire you to aspire to a life of disciple making. That's the whole goal. And there's going to be, there's content, of course. We're doing a couple of things. We're going to open the Bible and we're going to preach for sure what the Bible teaches. But it's also a time that we're learning and hopefully gaining some conviction. And you guys can do this. You can share this week, these six scriptures that we're going to look at, you can share it with a friend in about an hour, 45-minute time period. But if you're inspired to a life of disciple making, and if you just desperately, that's what you want to do, then it's what's going to happen. Then anything that I say, it can go in one ear, out the other, because your objective is going to be to do that. And if we don't get this, we don't feel like, disciple making is not for me, it's for somebody else, then I can preach the most amazing lesson. I don't think it's going to be the most amazing lesson that I've ever spoken. And even if it was, I could speak it and it would fall on mostly deaf ears. And so I say this right now that if you can leave nothing in these next 3 weeks, I pray that you leave inspired to aspire to a life of disciple making.
Yeah. Amen.
You guys can open up to Hebrews 4. These aren't new scriptures but we understand here that the reality is looking at a group of six scriptures or looking at a whole Bible study series that doesn't make a Christian. You can give anybody pamphlets or you know materials. That doesn't make a Christian. Really, what has to happen? Somebody has to fall in love with God if they're going to be a Christian. Every Christian that is a true Christian at some point or another has fallen in love and is staying in love with God. But if you're not in love with God, you really can't be a Christian. Hear me now. Every Christian has to fall in love with the church, with God's family of people, because we know we can't do this by ourselves. Anybody who says, I'm a Christian, when's the last time you got together with people, you shared your life, you went to, and if the answer is years ago or sporadically, I do think it calls into question their Christianity. We know we can't do this by ourselves. You read the Bible for any length of time and you understand this is such a high standard. And then the last is that not only to believe the gospel, but then we have to respond biblically as well. And that's the main function of these Bible study, any Bible study series, is that we hear the gospel properly and that this is the proper response to it according to what Scripture teaches. We're over here, we're in Hebrews 4. Again, we are, the goal, we're going to look at a few scriptures, and it's not a teaching as much as it is just preaching. If you can, again, leave with nothing, leave with this aspiration then to help somebody become a Christian. The title of the lesson today is Authentic Discipleship. It's Hebrews 4 in verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." We're going to look at the word of God, and we're going to kind of mash up the word of God and a study about discipleship. But we can start here. We can start in 2 Timothy, and we'll go there in a sec. But when we're teaching the Bible, we've got to realize this is true, that the Word of God is alive and active. This Bible, then, is alive and active. If you're looking on your phone, it's alive and active. And so we ought to teach the Bible like it's alive and active. We can't be apologetic about what the Bible says. We have to understand what it says and preach it in context and speak it in context and help people, of course. But we can't be apologetic about what the Bible says. We can't be apologetic about what God's word says. You understand, this is the key to life.
Yeah.
All of life's problems are solved from following this wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Not most of them, not 90% of them, not 95, not 99.5. Every single problem that anybody is going to experience in their life is solved from following this book and a wholehearted devotion to Jesus. That is what we are trying to impress upon. And if you believe that's true, then I think it should impact the way that you teach it. I think it should impact the energy with which you speak it. I don't know if most people are going to, that we share the Bible with, I don't know if most, some of, I'm familiar with that, I've heard this before. But I don't know if a lot of people had 5, 10, you know, you think about when you studied the Bible, maybe you remember the specific scriptures, you probably remember the questions that are being asked. You probably remember the energy that somebody was speaking them with, that you just felt like they really believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
If we really believe what we're saying, that the Bible is the Word of God, but that it's alive and active, then we're going to use it. If we believe that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of somebody's heart, then we have to impress that upon people.
Yeah.
No other book is able to do that. No other, you know, good book, no other thoughtful teaching is able to do that. If you believe it, it's going to impact the way that you teach what the Bible says. Amen?
Yeah.
And then 2 Timothy, we're going to speed through it because we got six scriptures. So 2 Timothy, we know it. This is like full disclosure. When we after service today, we're going to have a spiritual enrichment class. This is going to be the memory scripture that I'm going to challenge you guys to remember. 2 Timothy 3:16. It was one of the first ones I remember being challenged to memorize. That I remember writing a note card and just like quizzing me and my buddy, and we would just go back and forth. And is this right? And we tried to get every single word correctly. And then the NIV, we used a different translation of the NIV. So now it's a little bit messed up anyways, but we got the gist of it. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're going to share this scripture with somebody, you have the potential to even share it with them this week. I think it's an awesome time for a conversation. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that all scripture, this Bible is from God? It's been said in numerous settings that if somebody's on the same page after a Word of God study, believing that the Bible is the Word of God, in theory, or maybe in practice, every other Bible study ought to be relatively simple, because somebody said this is true, and so it doesn't matter what my background was. It doesn't actually matter what I learned growing up, although most good, some not good. None of that stuff matters if the Bible is the Word of God and if you're showing me what the Bible says. But then it's a good time for now, yes, but for you to even consider, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?
Wow, yeah, good question.
Why? Because the answer is probably yes. I trust we wouldn't be here. You know, I know every face in the room. We wouldn't be here if you didn't believe it's true. But then why? Why do you believe it? And it's not, we're not going to dig into all of the validity of the Bible right now. But I think it's important for us to have conviction. Again, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you've seen it work in your life, is what I would. I've seen it work, and it is undeniable that there's no other book close to it. But also, there's a validity to it and how it was created and the amount of the dispersion of the New Testament specifically, and how uniform that you can go down and find this text, all purporting to be the same, you know, book of James or book of, you know, these letters, that they were all kept very, very close. I believe it's true because of that as well. I believe it's true because it's been held in high esteem for so many years, not just 320 or the Council of Nicaea, not just those times, but for hundreds of years prior to that as well. That's why I believe the Bible is from God.
Yeah.
So you're sharing this scripture. I think it's a great time to have this conversation. And then we'll go to John 8. And this is a little bit of a connection then between the Word of God and the discipleship component of our lives. It says, to the Jews who believed them, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We know it, but it's not enough just to know the word. We actually have to live it out. These Jews, you get it, I get it. They believed Jesus. They gave up a lot. They believed he was the Messiah. He was the one that was going to change everything. He's going to restore God's kingdom on earth. He's going to restore Israel. You know, we're going to be this people. That was how they viewed it. So they gave up a lot, probably. They perhaps were ostracized by family. They lost friends or opportunities to make money. Yeah, fine. But Jesus says, you're not my disciples because you're physically following me. You're my disciples if you obey what I teach.
Yeah.
If you abide in my word, if you're actually living it out, then you're my disciples.
Wow.
It's beyond this basic belief. You know, it's interesting. Work with me here. That I think so many people who call themselves Christians have kind of a Santa Claus type of faith. Okay, here we go. If you believe Santa Claus is in the North Pole, then you're going to do everything you can to stay off that naughty list. And then you'll get presents on Christmas, on Jesus' birthday. If I can just be good enough. I want to stay off this list. He's there. And so if I, you know, you kind of weigh, you know, I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't want Cole. And so I'm going to do everything I can to get off this naughty list. What I would say is probably a lot of people's faith hasn't matured past that, though.
Wow. Okay.
The names and the places just changed. If I believe that God's in heaven, then I'm going to do everything I can to stay off the naughty list and so that I'll get to go to heaven one day when Jesus returns.
Yeah.
I really believe it, so I just got to act a little bit right. It'd be simpler in some ways, or maybe it's an attractive option depending on where you're at right now. But that's easy believism. We understand that's not even true. This is an opportunity when you're sharing this with somebody. I think we got to share what discipleship actually looks like, to be set free, that we follow, then you know the truth, and that you're set free from the truth. And this is totally contrary to actually what the world teaches about faith, isn't it? It says, if you set me free from doing this, I'm in this horrible situation. If you set me free, then I'll know the truth that you're actually the Messiah. Then I'll be a Christian. And then I'll learn to hold to your teachings more and more, increasingly so.
Wow.
The Bible's saying, no, it's totally opposite of that. You have to hold to the teachings, and then you're really a Christian. And then you're going to know the truth. But only when you follow and sit with the teachings is when you're going to know. And then that truth is going to set you free. You guys have probably tried to explain to your family why you're so devoted to reading your Bible. You've probably tried to, and they've probably not understood much. Why are you giving up this money? You give this much, and you give this much, you show up to this stuff. Why do you do that? That doesn't make much sense. Or maybe it's coworkers. Well, because they aren't living it out, and so you can't speak to it. They can't speak to it. They don't know the truth.
Yeah.
Of course they're not. You realize that the more that you forfeit, the more freedom you actually get.
Yeah.
If somebody's calling themselves a Christian, again, I'm not somebody identifies as being a Christian. I think it's our responsibility to hold them to what the Bible says. There's a tactful way to do it, but I would say I don't think this group lacks in tact. I think perhaps we lack in courage to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Mark 1, verse, we'll just read 16 through 18. And now we're looking at the life of a disciple here. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. These men give up their whole occupation. They would have been passed up on in this, you know, this calling that Jesus shared with them is one that would have been pretty normal, I guess, in that time, for a rabbi to call his students to follow him in this way. Come follow me. It would have been normal, but these men would have already been a little bit too old to be called by a rabbi. They would have been passed up. We understand they were unschooled, ordinary individuals. They were this hodgepodge group. Jesus saw them fishing and he calls them to himself. They give up everything and they follow him. They leave their father in the boat. I think it's vital that we can bring up with people as we're sharing that their entire occupation was different when they decided to follow Jesus. And this is a good conversation that how is Christianity, how is it going to change your life if you just give up everything for Jesus? What does that look like? It's not about getting more religious. It's not about doing more things. It's not about adding church to the schedule. We understand it's not about that. But you understand it, so I think it's important to impress that on people and to actually dream with them. What will it look like for you to give up everything to follow Jesus? And they say, well, I'm doing that. And that's, oh, great. So how does that look then for you? And again, this is the time Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Your whole job is going to be totally different. And then in Matthew 28, we probably got this one down by heart. It says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." At the beginning of Jesus' calling to his disciples, he said, "I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men, how to help people." And now at the end of his time on earth that Matthew has recorded, after he's risen from the dead, he says, "You know how to do it now. You now go and make disciples. You've spent 3 years with me and you get it. Go and make disciples." It says, "Baptize them and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And that's our mission and objective as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't gauge our discipleship. If you look, this is intended to be an encouragement to us. If you look at your Christianity, you're like, "I don't know, I've not made a disciple." This is not supposed to be something that we feel like negative about. This is supposed to give you courage that you're able to. You're able to. It's possible. Jesus is clear, and I think if he was in this room, maybe you'd feel like, "I'm not prepared for it," but I think he'd say, "You guys got it. You guys," they didn't have the Bible. We have this. We have the key to life to show somebody, and then at some point, God's working way more beforehand, way more after, and way more during than we can even dream of.
God,
you know what I'm saying?
Praise God.
I think it's okay to mention in this time when you're sharing it, I think it's okay to bring up baptism. And I don't think you got to camp on it. That'll be next week, but it might even be the next conversation you have with somebody. But I think you can point out baptism. There's so many different teachings and improper teachings about conversion or about baptism. I think it's a good time to bring that up. And then this is what I feel so encouraged about, is there's this component that says, "Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you." And it's not just, "We're going to leave you where you are. High five, you're converted. We add your, you know, name to the list," or something like that, and now we go try to find the next one. No, it's we're trying to help each other as we continue to mature. Amen?
Amen.
So you brought up those couple of scriptures, the discipleship, and then Luke 9, we know this one well too. It says, "He said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" This scripture, along with Luke 9, along with Luke 14, I think the important word here is whoever. Whoever wants to be my disciple. This is not a teaching for the best of the best. This is a teaching for anybody who wants to take up their cross and follow Jesus.
Wow.
It's not just, but hear me now. It's not just for those who are studying the Bible and we're showing them the scripture. This is for us as well.
Yeah, right.
I know for me, one of the big turning points in my whole spiritual walk was one of my buddies deciding to study the Bible, because I knew I need to shape up a little bit. I can't talk about this and then live an entirely different life. What does that look like? You know, and he's going to see my life about, you know, 10 to 12 hours of the week. He's really only studying the Bible for 3 or 4, you know, give or take, you know, with people. And so there's 3 times as much time that he's going to look at my life and just determine that's what a Christian actually looks like than it is just reading the Bible. And so I need to follow what it says then. And that's what studying the Bible does. It helps us. I know I've learned way more about Christian theology, why I believe what I believe, and why I don't believe other stuff. I've learned way more about how to help individuals, how to ask good questions, from just being able to sit face-to-face with somebody and really care about them than I ever would have in a class learning about this different, you know, reading apologetics. My motivation a lot of times to read apologetics is, how can I help this person? Or even, why do I believe what I believe? Aiden asked me a really good question that I'm like, you know what? I don't know the exact answer. Aiden asked a lot of good questions, actually. He recently asked a really, just on Friday, asked a really good question that I was like, I have some answer. I want to actually find the real answer. But when we're trying to help people do that, we learn our Bibles way more, don't we?
Yeah. Let's go, Aiden.
And so we looked at, just in this, you know, 20 minutes, we looked at That's six scriptures. And I hope there's conversation throughout it. Again, if your aspiration is to help somebody become a Christian and for you to live a life of disciple making, then you're going to be able to figure all this stuff out. Then you're going to look somebody face to face and you're going to ask good questions to them. You're going to leave a conversation and it's not going to sit right with you because you know I should have spoken up. And then you're going to be able to meet with them again and speak up again, right? Yeah. I think you can close this little time. If you spend it this week or over the course of a little bit, you can close it by just talking and sharing some of what you've given up to be a Christian. Or what did that process look like for you? How you felt in the middle of looking at some of these same scriptures, or how you feel even right now with your life looking at these scriptures. But how has it transformed your life? How has it made a difference in your life? And then I think it's vital to talk about why it was worth it. Because again, we wouldn't be sharing any of this stuff if we didn't think it was worth it. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have to talk myself out of feeling like when I'm sharing my faith, and then sometimes when I'm asking somebody to come to church, I'm saying, well, do you want to come to this, you know, campus devotional? Or do you want to I sometimes feel like, man, am I just this like infomercial guy that I'm trying to sell somebody on the most amazing tape? Or you know what I mean? I'm this cleaning product that is going to work, and there's a lot of other cleaning products, but this one is better. But then I realized this is the best thing for everybody for all time. Yeah. Is to follow the Bible wholeheartedly. And so I'm not asking, every claim that I make that this will absolutely change your life, when an infomercial guy says it, we understand tongue in cheek, that's not really true. You know what I'm saying? Like a tape isn't going to really change your life. It's not going to save you all that much time. But when we say your life can be forever different from this day on, if you decide to follow this and just go down that road, We're not painting it to be too big of a picture. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
We have the key to life in our hands. So I think it's important then to invite people to church. I think it's important I've had to get over this, that someone says they go to church. I'll just ask, are you willing to come out to this one just to see? Yeah, just to get it under your belt and see what's going on. A lot of times I've found people are actually pretty willing to. They're like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, it's a little bit different feel or different flavor. And people are willing to, is what I would say. But again, I'm not saying that the Kalamazoo Church of Christ is the best church in Kalamazoo. I'm not saying it's the most amazing church in Kalamazoo. I think it's incredible. But what I'm saying is I think it's probably the best for maybe 95% of people. Like I don't know too many groups. I don't know any group in Kalamazoo that's calling people to discipleship on a daily basis or frequent basis. I don't know too many groups that are teaching proper doctrine. I just don't know it. And so maybe you'd prove me wrong and say, well, it's only good for 19 or for, you know, 18 out of 20. I don't know. But what I'm saying is if somebody shows it, I'd love to learn. But I got to feel okay about asking somebody to come to church. Not because I'm a great preacher, not because I'm a great speaker, but because I believe this is the church for virtually everybody in Kalamazoo. So you think about then, we go back to this little, now we have an amazing preacher, an amazing Kalamazoo preacher. I don't know who. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We'll see you in 2 weeks. No, that's true. Versus just one of us, a committed disciple in Kalamazoo. And you think about year one, feel like kind of the worst of the worst, but you just help a buddy. And then what happens, though, you guys understand, but by year 18, all of Kalamazoo County is evangelized and has had the opportunity to know Christ.
Amen.
That's 18 years. I'm not awesome at math. That's 2040, though. That's not, I hope many of us will be here to see it.
Yeah.
It's a caveat. Don't move, though, is what I'm also saying. Stay, yeah. Yeah, maybe Daniel will be the minister at that time. I don't know. Maybe Dayton or we'll see. Jordan will be the campus intern or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. 18 years isn't too long. That's not that much time. We're we're able to, not because of a Bible study series, not because of anything that's amazing that we're going to say. We're able to because Jesus wants all to be saved. That's what the Bible says. He wants all to be saved. Granted, yes, it's a narrow road, but the desire for Jesus is that everyone will be saved.
Yeah.
Let's go to John 13. We've looked at the scripture more than a couple of times over the last little bit, last month or so. But you can share this scripture during the discipleship study as well, because this is what it says is the metric for who's a disciple and who's not, according to what the world is going to see. It says in John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus loves us perfectly. And I could say loved like past tense, but it's not past tense. It's still right now. He loves us perfectly. He gave the biggest and best spectacle of that on the cross, sacrificing himself, that if everybody turned away but just you, you know what he still would have done? He still would have went on the cross. With that, let's pray as we take communion together, remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we're not worthy, Father. We don't measure up to your love. We don't deserve your love. We haven't done anything impressive to win your love. God, we could serve you every single day for the rest of our lives, and it would be a drop in the ocean, Lord, of how much you have given to us and loved us before we were even formed, Father. We're so grateful that you decided that we were worthy. We're so grateful that you gave the most prized possession. And we're so grateful, Jesus, that you gave your life for us. Mm-hmm. Father, please give us the strength then to live for you every day, Lord, and to call people to the same. Father, we love you. This is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Kalamazoo Church of Christ podcast. If you're in the Kalamazoo area, we'd love to get connected. Please go to kalamazoo.church and fill in your information to come to a Sunday service or any other event that we have going on. In any case, you'll be hearing from us next week.
Saving souls.